chapter 2 last calendar year, and now we come back to the book of Philippians and pick up in chapter 3. Something glory is something to do with gratitude, something to enjoy doing together, which is the way the passage begins, rejoice in the Lord. All around for we are. Put everything in context instead of just hearing, rejoice, beware, 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 worship, glory in Christ, put no confidence in the flesh. Instead of the stressful command, we hear, for we are. Something is already true about us because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are something. And what that is makes all of these commands a very joyful business. So what we're going to do is to focus on those three words, for we are, at the beginning of verse 3. We're going to start at verse 3, and then we'll cover verse 2 and then 1. We'll go from verse 3 to 2, then 1. And we're going to just stop and think about what this is saying believers in Jesus Christ actually are. That's our first point. We are, and then we'll get to all the different commands that surround what we are in this passage. Because of who we are, we do certain things. So first point, we are. Second point, so we, with the idea that we use all the things here. But maybe to go back very quickly to how it might be slightly stressful, circumcision isn't something we probably spend too much time thinking about, and it sort of adds a quality to this passage. There's all these commands going on, and then when it tells us who we are, it uses this idea of circumcision. And here's one of a very Pauline sort of statement. I'm not sure you would get this from any other theologians, but Paul wants you to know we are the true circumcision. Now, he's doing something just remarkable here. First, you understand, probably even by hearing the word circumcision, that the Jewish people of the Old Testament, even the Jewish people during the time of the book of Philippians, they were very concerned with circumcision. They had a ritual around it established in the book of Genesis, but Father Abraham and the male children of Jewish families were to be circumcised on the eighth day. And this marked out Jewish children, Jewish boys, from the neighboring world around them, from the Gentiles, from the Romans, from the pagan countries and nationalities surrounding them. It marked them out in a literal way as God's people. In the Old Testament, that's true. But when it comes to the New Testament, Paul is very concerned about it. So what is circumcision except for an external sort of ritual? And, you know, even in the Old Testament, it was clear that what was essential was a circumcision of the heart. So the idea of circumcision is perplexing. Circumcision of the heart becomes maybe a little bit more perplexing, but it actually gets to the root of the very idea that as sinners by nature, there is a part of us that needs to be removed. We're damaged by nature, conceived in sin. We, to be saved by grace, need the removal of the filth of the flesh. And that was exemplified by this Old Testament ritual of circumcision. And Paul is saying, but make no mistake about it, even in the Old Testament, it was a matter of the heart. Yes, it was an external ritual that marked out something, but even in the Old Testament, it is spoken about in terms of the heart and circumcision of the heart. And his point here in Philippians, and especially in the book of Galatians, is that this external ritual, this external work, is not what makes you truly right with God. That through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive the removal of the filth of the flesh. That you are in Christ, and that because you are in Christ, this Old Testament ritual is no longer necessary. In fact,
in the New Testament, according to Paul, over and over, it gets in the way. Because people look at it and say, look at how religious I am. I had this external ritual done to me. It points on the Son of God. I'm marked out. You can see it in my flesh. You can see it in my body. And Paul saying, no. You're missing the point. It's a matter of the heart. The heart is a matter. It's a matter of the heart. Where is your faith? You don't need this external ritual any longer that has served its purpose to illustrate to countless generations of Israelites that there needed to be the removal of the filth of the flesh. But in Christ, that comes through faith. So Paul says something absolutely astonishing to come from an Israelite, from a former Pharisee, from a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin, writing to Gentiles, non-Jews, maybe Jews included, but also Greeks, seeing them all as one people of God in Christ. This former Pharisee said to these Gentiles, you're the true servant. And honestly, the language there is even more direct. He uses the word, the Greek word, for circumcision. He said, you're the circumcision. We are the circumcision. Paul is saying, this has been so thoroughly fulfilled in Christ. The bread or physical circumcision is in no way necessary whatsoever, because the matter of the heart has been addressed. We are called to faith in Jesus Christ. We are circumcised. You know, you begin wrapping your mind around that. All these other features of these verses just fall right in place. We are the true circumcision. We're the people of God in Jesus Christ by faith. It's no longer Jews and Gentiles, but Jews and Gentiles. It is the people of God, God's dividing minds, united together in their common Savior, brought to be forgiven of sins, to have the removal of the filth of the flesh, the circumcision of the heart, through faith in Jesus Christ, breaking down the dividing walls of opposition, in union together of sinners saved by grace through Jesus Christ. That's what we are. Think about the unrest throughout the world. Think about religions and how tied they are to cultures and nations. Think about companies and degrees and industries and wars and racism. Think about all the ways throughout all of history humans have conspired against other humans. And here you have a former Pharisee saying, it's not about what can happen to my body on the eighth day of my life. It's about faith in Jesus Christ. You're a Gentile, I'm a Jew. We are the circumcision in Jesus Christ. Unparalleled. That's why we're reading God's Word in English in 2024 when it was written in Greek almost 2,000 years ago. Translated into so many different languages and has edified the church in various cultures in various places throughout the world over the last 2,000 years. And now we come to it and say, boy, that's sure of us. We're included in that. We are. This is who we are. And Paul says it's so strong. This will bring us into the many commands that surround us. We are the true circumcision. And what do we do as the true circumcision? It has nothing to do with the rest or the eighth day of life or a ritual. No, we worship the Spirit. We glory body and say, that's what we're all about. We're faithful children of God because we were circumcised on the inside. We don't say that. We don't think like that. Instead, we say, we are the true circumcised, circumcised in the heart, saved by grace through faith, believing in Jesus Christ, who unites Gentile and Jew, regardless of the background, brought the nations and the tribes together. What do they do there? They worship the Spirit, in the Spirit. They glory in Christ Jesus. And they put no confidence in the flesh. Thoughts there. See, the Trinity is there, right? The Spirit of God. And then we glorify Christ. God, the Spirit, Christ, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We worship Him together. We are the circumcision drawn together in Christ to show that by worshiping, glorifying, our triune God. And putting no confidence in the flesh. Not in a physical circumcision, not in the works that we accomplish, the things that we do, as we have already sung together during worship, we have glorified Christ, saying, singing, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I claim. Everything that is worthwhile about me is who I am because of faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Who we are means everything. And each of these commands is simply speaking about living out who you are in Christ. Doesn't take being circumcised on the eighth day. Doesn't take a bread for eating kosher. Doesn't take these things. It's faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Do you believe? That's the most important question. Will you claim Christ as your own? Will you see Him not as the good shepherd, but as your good shepherd? Are you able to say, I am who I am because of faith in the Lord Jesus? Then you see you're included in the word, the three words that begin verse 3. For we are. Well, we've looked at verse 3, and now we can move into more of the things we are called to do. Those are given to us in verses 2 and even verse 1 as well. Verse 2 is the three commandments to stay on guard, to be alert, to be on the watch. But what's fascinating is how Paul is using different words here. You see the Jews of the first century, and who were proud of their circumcision, they would go by being called the circumcised. It was a synonym for being a faithful Jew. They're the circumcised. They're the circumcision. And because of their status as God's chosen people and believing they were and having them marked out through circumcision, believe it or not, they would look at Gentiles and refer to them as dogs. Now, they're not God's people. They're outside God's electing grace and mercy of dogs. And then we know, like a Pharisee, right? A Pharisee is someone who committed to good works, right? Like legalistic, external performance according to the law that none of us could really hold in contempt. Like when it comes to the law, they've got it down. They know how to act outwardly in a way that conforms to God's law. But look what Paul is doing here, the former Pharisee, before he gives us more autobiographical material in the upcoming version. Look what he's doing. He's saying, you're the true circumcision, even if you're not circumcised. You're the true circumcision. They call the Gentiles dogs. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the dogs that come and claim religion is all about external good works and rituals. They say they're doing good work. I've got common as that you have seen over and over. You know what he's saying? He's saying, even if you're a Gentile, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are truly circumcised. And if it's just an external ritual that you do on the eighth day, mutilation, it costs nothing. If it doesn't lead to the Messiah of the Old Testament, who is Jesus Christ, it is a dead ritual that amounts to mutilation. Beware. Beware the God. Beware the evil workers. Beware the mutilation. Beware all the different ways religion, faithless religion, false religion, works righteousness, earning your standing before God. Beware all the ways that encroaches. Beware. And you see what he's doing here. He's already given us the reason for joy. Who we are. The response to that is joy. We are through what Christ has done, the true circumcision, saved by grace, the removal of the filth of the flesh by grace and faith in Jesus Christ, circumcised in the heart. Jesus Christ is Lord, uniting together nations and tribes and families and people, building a kingdom that will have no end. Over and over and over throughout the book, he said, because of who you are, there's reason for joy. Worship. Glorify. No confidence in the flesh, but every reason for joy in abundance for what God has done for you. So rejoice in the Lord for who we are. Let's honor that joy. Don't put it up for grabs. Don't make it vulnerable. You don't think about the most joyful times in your life. You realize that the security has something to do with it. You think about a particularly wonderful anniversary or Christmas or wedding or event, some sort of celebration. It wouldn't have been that if you were afraid for your life, the safety of your loved ones. Guarding, watching out, security has to do with joy. And Paul is saying that. Beware. There is a joy that transcends your immediate circumstances. There is a joy available to you through faith. It says it doesn't matter if you're going to die tomorrow or in 20 years. It doesn't matter if you're grieving or rejoicing. It doesn't matter if you're down and out or flying high. It doesn't matter if your resume is pitiful or wonderful, if your academic record is amazing or lousy. Jesus Christ makes you who you are by faith, and that's what happens. And therefore, whatever situation you're in, even if you're in grief and fear, that's your reason for joy. And Paul's saying, don't let anything get in the way of that. Watch out for snarling, hungry wolves and coyotes that will take them from you by imposing on you some sort of work righteous religion. Where evil is out there, things will call you away from your union with Christ and your identity. There you have command after command that becomes the joyful business of the true Son or daughter of God in Jesus Christ. Who you are, true circumstances, and as who you are, you worship, you glory, you put no confidence in the flesh, you stay alert when it comes to the dogs, evil workers, the mutilation. Father in heaven, we pray that you would lift up our spirits simply by considering how persistent you are when it comes to our joy. That we are called to worship you and glorify you. circumstance and experience and your struggle. Pray that even as we come out from the Lord's Supper, you would remind us that it is bread and wine which makes glad the heart of man, that even partaking of the